To those of you who are season one listeners, welcome back. And to those of you who are new to my podcast, welcome to season two of the Pregnancy Wellness Podcast, hosted by me, Pip. I'm a practicing midwife and enthusiast of all things women's wellness, especially when it comes to pregnancy and motherhood. Do you find yourself with lots of pregnancy questions unanswered? Do you feel that extra midwifery support would be useful to you? Do you fully understand how to enhance your pregnancy wellness? You are in good hands. This podcast is for you. Alongside this, I have also been busy creating a 12-month pregnancy journey support group and course to provide you with a whole package of expert wellness and pregnancy information to guide you every step of the way, leaving no stone unturned from trimester one right through to trimester four. And I'm now enrolling expectant mums in their first trimester. Spaces will be limited, so if you think this sounds like you, get in touch through my social media or at midwifepip.com. Over the upcoming 15 episodes, I'm excited to be chatting with expert guests and real women on this season to bring you honest, evidence-based information and top tips to navigating your pregnancy wellness journey. I hope these episodes leave you feeling positive and empowered. And don't forget, for more support and birth preparation, to check out my website, midwifepip.com, for your free birth preference plan download. I hope that you are sat comfortably and ready for the midwife chats and knowledge bombs to commence.
Pregnancy is such a momentous time in a woman's life. Your body is entirely devoted to growing a new little human life, or two. Breasts, bums and bellies grow rounder, our skin changes, we grow a superhuman sense of smell and can often vomit or cry with the flick of a switch. There are undoubtedly some welcome and some less welcome changes that happen as our bodies grow and change in pregnancy. And I'm so excited to chat this week with the wonderful Chezzy King, who knows very well about these adaptions as she is currently expecting a little girl herself. But I am in complete awe of Chezzy's body confidence and self-love and think it really is something that all us women need more of in our life. So for more, be sure to check out her Instagram account at Chezzy King with two G's, which is linked in the bio. So welcome and thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat to you.
Pip, I have listened to every single episode I think you've ever created and now we're doing one together.
I know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I'm way pre-pregnancy, either of our pregnancy journeys. I've always just been kind of inspired and in awe of your just confidence and love for your female body. And I love that because we don't see that enough, do we?
Oh, that's so lovely that you see that from an outside point of view, because for me, I'm only 27. I'll be 28 when she's here, but it took a long time. I was always the tallest and the biggest of my group. And I would always be called the mom of the group. And my friends would kind of be embarrassed because I would tower over them. I think I was like 5'11" by the time I was, I'd say 14, 15, which when all my friends were like nipple height, which would be handy if I was breastfeeding them. I was always aware of it, but it took me probably up until, I'd say from 14 years old to about 22, 23, to really just become best friends with my body. And really appreciate everything that it can do, everything that it has done for me in my life, and that in turn helps me celebrate other women's bodies. And now, as we both know, in the stage of pregnancy that we're at, I think we're 10 weeks apart, so you're 20 weeks, I'm 30 weeks at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds
which
right,
is
yeah.
So lovely, because one of my friends is 10 weeks ahead of me, and it was so nice having that, like, I don't know, someone to look, kind of look up to and go, oh, you're at that stage. Like, it feels like it's so far away, but it gives you that insight, doesn't it? That excitement of like, oh my goodness.
And oh my goodness, it flies by as well. I feel like so far my second trimester, so I'm like halfway through the second trimester now, it's just flown by. I don't know about you, have you found it's gone really quickly?
I wish I could say it has, Pip. Like, as you know, I don't know if I wish I could say, because everyone, like all friends and family that we haven't been able to see because of obviously what's going on, it's funny because they've all said, oh my god, that's gone so quick, it's whizzed by. But my experience has been a little bit different to it whizzing by. I'm still kidnapped by hyperemesis some days, and it's just a very different experience to what I thought it would be. But I've kind of had to just surrender and let go of any preconceptions that I had or any ideas of how my pregnancy should have been, because I feel like, especially as I wanted to be a mum even when I was like 4 and my sister was handed to me and my parents were like, right, she's yours, you've got to look after her. And honestly, people would be like, what do you want to be when you're older? And I was like, a mummy. And they were like, for work? I was like, yeah, a mummy.
Love it. You're literally living your childhood dream now.
That's it, I know. And I think I've kind of had that idea in my head of what my pregnancy would have looked like and what my birth would have looked like. But honestly, these 30 weeks have taught me resilience. They've taught me just surrendering, letting go of anything. Instead of thinking, oh, I've lost days to sickness, thinking, but I've gained this whole level of appreciation for my body, another new level that I thought was unobtainable because I thought I was already there at like full capacity of appreciating my body, and just celebrating the little girl that I'm creating and being like, I'm doing it for you, like this is amazing, I get to meet you at the end of it all. It's not I'm sick and I get nothing from it, like it, yeah. So it's been phenomenal. I'm so lucky to be on this, well, just experiencing it all.
Oh, I love that. And you have been really honest, haven't you, about your troubles with hyperemesis, which, I mean, I had sort of morning sickness between weeks 5 and 11 that seemed awful to me. It was like every 20 minutes and constantly vomiting or gagging or feeling nauseous. But for you to have had it for like 30 weeks and probably it's going to continue now, it's unlikely
to wake up. Thank
and go.
You.
Sorry, I've just broken that like awful.
That's been my turn. I'm not friends.
But how have you coped with that? Because I know this is something that lots of women do struggle with, but quite often, especially on sort of social media, we portray this image of pregnancy being this big glow. And actually, quite frankly, sometimes there are bits that are kind of pants and they're really tough.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that I think, obviously not as a midwife or not as a medical person, but with the understanding that I had pre-pregnancy from doing a doula course and from just being so fascinated by pregnancy before, I think I have seen it in a different way of appreciating how pregnancy can be so goodness me, like you can never plan it, can you? It's so unpredictable, pregnancy. And for someone that from an outside point of view, like my friends and family have gone, oh, I'm so sorry you've had the worst pregnancy, and I'm like, no, this is not like, I have obviously nothing to compare it to, but also it's not been the worst. I don't look at my pregnancy and go, oh, I've been really sick. I just think, wow, like how resilient is this body, and how incredible that she's still it's like a secret language. When I'm feeling sick or I've just been sick and I get back into bed, she kicks and she's like, I'm okay, mum, I'm good, I'm still here. Like, and that for me is like, oh my god, we've spent every single day of our lives, of her life together, like every single day that she's been in my tummy. I think it's flipping it. And obviously when I'm being sick and it's the 20th time of the day and I haven't been able to even keep down a sip of water, there is obviously a massive part of me that is like, oh, I really kind of wish this would stop now. And it's funny, every time I am sick, I look at Matt and I call it the slip and slide mouth. Like, you know, everyone gets that symptom before they're sick.
Yeah.
Mine is like a water park. Like my mouth just starts going all like juicy and gross. And then I look at Matt and he's like, oh no. He knows the look. I'm like straight to the bath. And I have not... I think maybe one time I've been sick over the toilet, but I can't even think about being sick over the toilet because it makes it feel worse. Whereas in the bath, yeah. But I honestly think it, to anyone that is suffering with HG or anything, to be honest, it's not just the sickness, it's anything that maybe you didn't, you can't obviously plan anything, but anything that you're going through, like chronic back pain and pelvic floor pain and all of these things that you kind of hear about and you go, oh, I probably won't get that. Like if you're listening and going, oh, it just feels like my whole body's being taken over and it doesn't feel like mine. I think for me, the most valuable thing has been just stripping it back down to when it feels like that and it's really overwhelming and I'm like, oh, I just wish that I could stop being sick. It's really like, just kind of connecting from head to toe and being like, right, what changes are going on in my brain? What changes are going on in my heart? Like, obviously we know, we all know the foundations of knowledge. We don't need to go into the depths of like the medical science behind it all. And like doing almost, you know, at the end of yoga, when you almost, you scan your body from head to toe. Yeah, and I love like connecting with every organ and every bit of my body and going, wow, like you are doing the most phenomenal job, like thank you, like keep going, keep creating this human. And that for me has really helped me bring it back to, okay, right, yes, it might be the 20th time you're being sick, but the basics of it and the foundations of it is I'm still making this human. And that it blows my mind
even as a midwife who's been delivering babies for years and years and years and working with pregnant women, when it's actually you, I'm like, oh, this is amazing, look what we can do, we are so clever. We're so clever.
I heard yesterday, Pip, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that a pregnant woman produces more estrogen in a day than a non-pregnant woman does in a year.
Wow. I mean, I don't know 100%, but that sounds like that could totally be true.
Oh, I really hope I haven't said that and made it up, but I promise.
We'll Google it after.
Exactly. And then fact check it.
Yeah. I love it. My partner always said, what have you done today? And I'm like, I've done this. Oh, and I'm growing our baby.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the biggest achievement of all.
I love it. So, Chessie, I just love your like positive energy and like positive vibes. It's amazing. But you did mention that it's not always been that way. And I wonder how you got there, or if you've got any kind of tips or tricks that you can share with us as to kind of how you navigated that journey, because it seems like you've come such a massive way. And I know there's women out there that probably see themselves as that 14-year-old you, but want to be the you that you are now and have that outlook on themselves.
Yeah, it's definitely been like a daily practice of being aware of when the voice in my head that is negative and self-sabotaging and the bully in my brain is like the voice is louder than on some days, and it's noticing that, recognizing it and going, right, so would I ever say this to my best friend? Would I ever say, oh God, your thighs look huge in those shorts when you sit down? No, I would never say that to anyone, let alone my best friend, let alone a stranger, like no one. And then I go, right, so why am I saying it to myself? And then I say, would I ever let anyone say that to me? Would I ever let anyone tell me not to wear a crop top and leggings? Would I ever let anyone tell me not to do that because I look awful? And no, I wouldn't. Like if someone told me that, I'd be like, oh, you really need some help, like you need help. And obviously you get that on social media, like the trolling is hilarious, but and that's obviously another topic, but I kind of do those little checkpoints and then I go to myself, I'm like, right, need a little pep talk here. Yes, you're going to feel like that on some days, but just it's coming back to that place of being your own best friend, speaking about your body and yourself with the same love and respect that you do everyone else. Because like as women, and especially I've been brought up with my sister, who's my best friend, and my mum, who I've been so lucky to have such lovely foundations of female relationships. So I've always been in awe of them both, and they're very different bodies to me. They're very different shapes to me, but I just appreciate their bodies, and I look at them and I'm like, wow, like you're phenomenal. And I don't just see them for their outer layer. Like I love them for all the juicy bits inside, but I kind of just think, right, well, they're not looking at me thinking that. And I was trying to explain it to Matt, the difference between when I first met him 4.5 years ago to now. And I said to him, I was like, I just was so aesthetically provoked. Like I really just wanted to, look good. And I wasn't, I'm not embarrassed to say it now. Like it was such a huge focus of mine. It was such a huge priority. And over the years, I've realized like none of my friends and family love me because I'm tall and have long legs and nice arms. No one ever will remember me and go, oh, she was so sweet because of her six pack. Like no one's going to remember me for that. They hopefully will remember us for the moments that we've had together and the lovely memories we've created together and the times that we've laughed together, the times you realize as you get older, you're like, oh, it really doesn't matter how I look. Like something that's so liberating that's come out of lockdown for me, Pip, is I haven't worn makeup since my virtual hen, which was last May. So I'm coming up to a year of literally, and when I say I haven't worn makeup, the most I've done is put a bit of like brow, what's it called? The sticky uppy bits. The brow gel, all I've done, and maybe a bit of lip balm, but I just haven't even wanted to. I just love like the feeling of just being stripped back and someone that's suffered with acne for a good chunk of my life. I feel so liberated and free, and like I don't care. Like I see my friends now for walks and they're like, wow, you look fresh faced. I'm like, thank you, I haven't worn makeup for a year. And it's just so nice to not feel, and don't get me wrong, I probably will. I used to love makeup and self-expression through makeup, but I've just taken a step back and stripped it all back down and be like, this is me.
Yeah, oh my gosh, and you look amazing for it. So that's definitely something we can all take away. I always find the worst thing about wearing makeup is having to take it off at night. That's the thing that puts me off putting it on, is about I've got to take it off again. I'm like, oh,
at
really?
The time that it takes. Like Matt gets into bed and he's literally asleep in 2 minutes, whereas I'm like on my third step of my cleansing routine, and I'm like, you're getting so much more sleep and we need it at the moment.
So true, isn't it? I'm like, I need to go to bed early because I need to do my skin first.
Yes.
and then we can talk about that sleep thing that happens after.
Amazing. How's your sleep, Pip? Is it wonderful, or are you?
Well, to be fair, my sleep's always been like utter chaos because of shift work. I'm actually okay. I sleep okay at night, but quite often I'm doing night shifts, so I can't switch my sleep to sleep during the day. So I'm generally usually in a bit of a cycle of sleep deprivation anyway. So I'm hoping that will be a transition to kind of newborn baby life that won't be too much of a shock to my body.
Yeah, you're prepped. You are prepped. Like, what's your pillow situation like? Because I'm so fascinated with the configuration of, do you have like a pillow fort, or do you have one between your legs, one behind your back?
I definitely have one that's like whole body pillow.
Lovely.
So that one goes like between my leg and I like cuddle up to it. And then I have one behind my back and then one like in front of that, just in case the long pillow moves out of the way and I might need another one to grab.
Wow. I love that. I bet your partner's like, can I fit in here?
Yeah, somewhere? Yeah. He's like, really? We need all of this? I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
How about you? Have you got like a pillow like configuration that you set up?
I feel like every week, there's one pillow for every week. So we're on about 30 at the moment. By the time the baby's here. A similar to you, but I feel like I don't know about you, but when I wake up on my back, I'm like, oh, come on, pillows. I was really like, I was depending on you to support me. But I listened to your podcast and saying the position that you fall asleep in is the position you spend the most time in. And that gave me so much like, oh, actually, I'm fine. Because there seems, obviously you speak to so many people, there's so many, especially on social media, don't do this when you're pregnant and don't do that. And actually, you can do more things than things that you can't do. Like, it's focusing on, but what can I do to make it a bit more comfortable? What can I do instead of the, oh no, you can't eat this and you can't lie on your back and all this. It's like, that's taking away the joy in pregnancy, because then you focus on, oh, but I've had all this taken away from me. It's like, no.
Yeah, and then you're constantly scared or beating yourself up about this one thing that you didn't even mean to do. No one means to be asleep on their back in pregnancy, but yeah. Sometimes, like you say, you do wake up and you're like, oh, probably shouldn't be in this position, I'll roll back over. But we can't control absolutely every element of things, especially when we're asleep and like effectively unconscious. You know, it's kind of out of our control at that point. I love it. Now, I don't know if you've experienced much of this in your pregnancy, but there does seem to be just generally so much pregnancy judgment in society, whether that's social media or walking down the street or kind of friends and family. And we always hear, you know, your bump's too big, or you're having twins, or you must be ready to pop, or your bump's too small, you shouldn't be doing that, and all of that absolute rubbish. And it's something that I've definitely experienced firsthand. And it always amazes me that people think that I would be doing something to my body that would either damage myself or my baby. Like, obviously, yeah. I shouldn't be doing that. But I wonder whether you have had any of that, and whether you felt that, or people have sort of made comments about your body or your actions in pregnancy, and whether you've got any tips to kind of combating that, because I think it can be a bit of a battle sometimes for women.
It's so funny, isn't it, that people feel that they have almost like an ownership on your body, especially when you're pregnant. Like, even just, I was food shopping the other day, and a man that I've never met in my life literally reached out to touch my bump and went, oh, how is it in there? And I was like, oh, that's my tummy is your tummy, apparently. Like, lovely to meet you.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God.
I know. And the thing is, it can come from anywhere, can't it? It can come from social media. It can come from a stranger walking down the street, a work colleague. It's so easy to say. But I just find that as soon as I get home if I'm on my own, for example, and it does happen quite a lot when I'm on my own or when I'm on social media or whatever, the comments, I have to almost like relay it back to Matt in the funniest way I possibly can and almost take back that control and be like, God, Matt, someone came up to me and went, let's touch your belly. Or someone's commented and I have to read out the comment and be like, why are you saying this? Like, thank you for your lovely advice, but I'm okay. Like, my bump is the size it needs to be for me. Like, as long as we know that she's healthy and she's moving around in there, then I just say, thank you for your opinion. It's a load of bollocks.
Yeah, no, get away.
You have to think, well, they're obviously in a very strange place to be commenting on another person's body, especially when you're pregnant. But it's, my top tip is to, if you have a partner that you feel, obviously, hopefully you feel safe talking to them about that, or if you don't have a partner and you're going through pregnancy alone, and speaking to your family or your work colleagues and someone that you feel very, someone that's non-judgmental and you know will just be able to laugh about it with you, and taking back that control and like either reading out that comment or relaying what they've just said and almost doing like a little sketch show of it and being like, no, I'm not gonna let it make me feel uncomfortable or whatever. Yeah, there are so many opinions in the world and you just have to always laugh them off and be like, well, that's your opinion and me and my bump are great, thank you.
Yeah, definitely, and move on. Or maybe just comment on their belly back, pregnant or not. And how's your belly doing? Mine's good. How's yours? Make them feel uncomfortable instead.
A few days ago, we were on a walk and Hugo had a haircut, our dog, and it was quite a severe haircut, bless him. He went from being very, like, shaggy looking to a tiny little, like, a little rat. No, not a rat. That's horrible. He just a very severe haircut. And this lady, yeah, exactly. Post lockdown. And this lady was like, "Oh, I hope you didn't pay much for that haircut." And we were like, "Sorry?" And she was like, "Which rooms did you take him to? Because I wouldn't go back there." And I was like, "Are you commenting on our dog's haircut? Like, what has happened to the world? Like, everyone's obviously been in lockdown. They need to express themselves." But it was like, "What are you doing?" And then Matt just went, "Your hair's wonderful too." Or like something really sarcastic. Because he was like, "I'm not going to obviously make her feel awful." But he commented on her hair to be like, "No, I feel protective over my dog. I'm going to say something."
I love that. Oh my goodness, people are the most fascinating, aren't they? I'd love to. I'd love it. All those like positive things that you could say, you know, you look well, your skin looks glowing, how are you feeling? But no, we go for like the sting.
straight in with you look huge. Just like, thank you. I want to look huge. Yeah.
Always kind. Oh, hilarious. Love it. Now, this is a completely selfish question that I have to ask you, Chessie, and that is, how have you navigated dressing in pregnancy? Because you always look absolutely fabulous. All of your outfits are so gorgeous. And I'm like, oh, just put my tracksuit bottoms back on today.
Oh, Pip, look, I'm wearing trackies. Come on. I have just pulled them so high up, they went up my vagina. That is very, very, very lovely of you. But honestly, the trick and the secret, because there's no secret, is just floaty maxi dresses that I've had I've genuinely had those dresses. Like the ones that I get the most, oh my God, wow, you look like an actual like sunshine. And then they realize I'm pregnant and they're like, oh wow, it's actually, there's a baby under there. Those are the ones that I've had in my wardrobe for about 5-6 years. And they're like, so old and so used, but I feel so lovely in them because they're long, and I'm obviously a tall girl, so it's hard to find a maxi dress. But honestly, colour, I mean, I wear black when I go for a dog walk with Hugo because I know I'm going to get muddy, but like forcing myself to wear colour on the days that I really just want to be like, oh, I just want to put on some tracksuits. And it is funny because there are days, especially now we're allowed to actually like be out in the outside world, and I'm like, oh, but I was in trackies the whole time, and now I come down and I show Matt and I'm like, right, come on then, what are we saying? My nipples are protruding through this one. Like, that's what I found. It's not my bump, it's my dark nipples that are coming through. Apparently I love see-through fabrics.
I love it.
That's my thing. But I'd say,
yeah, those sticky flowers that you can put over your nipples.
Then I also feel like they rip your nipples off, don't they?
Yeah.
Kind of need those. I really want to be able to hopefully rescue. But I think, yeah, colour, especially like just kind of being your own cheerleader and being like, no, you will wear colour today, because it makes you feel, well, especially for me, it just brightens up my whole mood. And then floaty maxi dresses, especially as we're coming into summer. And I mean, I am a sweaty person, no matter if there's a human inside me or not. So I'm going to be, 30? Yeah, same as you. I'm going to be very pregnant in the peak of summer, so I cannot wait for that. I'm just going to be dripping every second of every day. And then I'd also say knitted dresses. So it's weird because knitted sounds like your nan's done it and it's for winter, but like that fabric that kind of hugs you and almost holds you, and it just, yeah, it gives you a lovely little squeeze. No, that sounds like you're wearing Spanx, but like it's like a little glove and fitting over your bum. I've absolutely loved wearing, and I don't think I had any, but like ribbed knitted dresses, because they kind of grow with you, and I love that. Like, instead of buying loads of maternity stuff that I probably won't wear this time next year, like I really wanted to get some things that would grow with me, and then hopefully I'll just put it in a hot wash and then it will hopefully come back to life when I don't.
And some of those stretchy fabrics are great because, like you say, they'll fit you post-birth anyway, so you can wear them for years to come. And it's really hard because I'm a bit like you in that I'm trying to navigate like a wardrobe, but I don't want it to be like a disposable wardrobe. You want bits that you can wear again, because otherwise it just feels, not only it's financially crazy, but also really bad for the environment.
Unsustainable, yeah. That's why I think, like, I've stayed away from maternity jeans and all of the, like, the only maternity specific things I've got are maternity leggings, and oh my goodness, this is not an like plug or an ad or anything, but I have tried so many, and the Fabletics ones that come up, like, they cover your whole bum, and it's funny, when I put them on, I don't know if you put them on like pre-proper bump, I put them on about 12 weeks and I was like, how would that, they like covered my whole boobies, so I was like, how would that work? I won't be able to fit, like, fill that. And now I'm like, I need to size up, because she's definitely filling that. So yeah, maternity leggings, I mean, are just a dream, and I think I'll wear them forever, my whole life.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a postpartum conversation, isn't it? Like, when's it acceptable to stop? Like, when? How long can I get away with still wearing maternity?
Never. You've got teenagers and you're still wearing them. Yeah, I honestly think they're going to be staple in my wardrobe. I'm a grandma. My child's had a child, and I'm still wearing my maternity leggings.
Oh, it is so much more comfortable. I definitely got to the point, probably at about 15 weeks maybe, where I just, the idea of having like a button over that bit that's getting sort of expanding was awful. I was like, oh no, I can't do it anymore. But yeah, no, it's an exciting time, isn't it? But it is definitely different, I think, as your body changes and trying to dress in a different way.
And also celebrating the, like you said, it's gone really quickly for you, and like, you want to look back. And I just love celebrating this new, like I said to Matt the other day, it's like an extension on a house, like it's an extension of me, like like I've literally had like an expansion, like an extra little room in my house, because I think, like, it's her home. I'm like, I want to celebrate you and I want you to be seen. But yeah, I honestly think just having a few floaty dresses that you will be able to wear, hopefully, when baby's here, and they're easy just to hopefully get your boobies out and feed them, because that's what I've been thinking as well. Like, I didn't really mention this, but I cracked a rib, potentially, obviously without an x-ray they can't say, but they definitely said I've torn an intercostal muscle from my sickness, which is lovely, isn't it? It's funny because I haven't been able to wear anything tight around that area, because it's literally where your bra is. So it's like supporting, I have to be like, right, I want to support my boobs, because otherwise that they feel heavy. But I also can't wear a bra, so I've been trying to do like body suits that hold them and give them a little bit of support and feel like I'm cupping them, or I just, to be honest, it's just like you said, navigating and figuring out what works for you and experimenting.
Oh my god, yeah, boobs is a whole nother thing, isn't it? So I was pretty much like entirely flat chested pre-pregnancy. I was like an A cup, never really had boobs. Didn't need to wear a bra, could just wear a little crop top so that my nipples weren't stuck out. Easy, easy. Yeah. And now I'm like, what do I do with these? How do I do this?
It's like new friends, isn't it? Okay.
Hello. I've always whinged about having a flat chest. Now I'm like, oh, but now I don't know what to do with boobs.
Oh, that's so nice though. Like, it is. It's just, I honestly think it's just, it's a new stage, it's a new like level of, okay, right, let's embrace these new boobies and let's embrace this bump, and what do I feel the best in? Like, you might not like a maxi floaty dress, but you might like, say, because like short dresses on me will not work for the next 8-9 weeks and beyond, because I just look like I'm wearing my child's clothes because the bump is pushing it out and they're even shorter. Like, I tried to wear a short dress the other day for Matt, and Matt and I went, well, I celebrated our anniversary, he didn't, because apparently I got it wrong. And we went for lunch and I was like, I saw a phone and I was like, I didn't realise how short it was because my bump had kind of pulled it up. So I was like, everyone saw where the baby's going to come out. But obviously, well, she's coming out the sunroof. She's an abdominal birth. That's something I feel like I've really had to shift my mindset. It was around 22 weeks. I went in so, not naively, I'm going to say optimistically, Pip.
Love it.
My cardiac consultants and the whole obstetrics team were there. And I kind of went in thinking, like, just I pictured myself every time I had a bath in this house. I was like, oh, Matt, just you wait. I'll push her out in this bath and she'll be a home delivery and all of that. And I went in with very different expectations to my team did. And I have a heart condition, SVT, and a hole in my heart. So I've had procedures done and whatever for the last 4 years. And I kind of thought, oh, well, I haven't had an episode since being pregnant, so I'm fine. And then I walked in and they kind of sat me down. They were like, right, what's your ideal birth? And it's like saying to someone, what's your ideal chocolate bar? Like, and explaining it and like all that, like melted chocolate in your mouth and explaining all the flavors, and then then going, oh, I'm really sorry, but that's discontinued, that bar will never, like, you're not allowed. Yeah, exactly. And they said to me, they, like, after I'd explained it, they all kind of laughed and they went, yeah, no, we've got you down as a cesarean. And I was like, what? Like,
that's escalating quickly.
Yeah. I was like, where's that come from? And they were like, we can't risk you pushing vaginally. And I hadn't even thought of a cesarean. Like, my best friend had the most amazing experience with an elective, and I've heard so many fascinating stories and all positive stories of elective cesareans, but it was never part of our birth preference plan. So it took a while. Actually, it didn't take me a while to process it. It was just a bit of a shock, initially. And now I'm just so excited because we're so lucky we get to know when she's coming, and we get to meet her earlier. We get to spend more time with her.
Oh, I love that. And you do get to, you've got some more kind of control over that environment, I guess, because you can plan it in a way that you can't always plan kind of that physiological birth process that could happen anytime, anywhere, day or night.
That's it. Yeah. And it's obviously there. Yeah, we're so excited. She's gonna be, it's the safest way for her, it's the safest way for me, and it's just how she's meant to come into the world.
Yeah, I love it. But that must have been quite hard to navigate, that kind of, I guess, that difference in your mental state. If you went into pregnancy kind of envisaging one thing, and I think one of the things we do after we've peed on that stick is start a picturing us with a baby and our birth, whatever that might look like. So to then be like, oh, that birth that you've pictured since you were like 4 years old by the same thing was actually then changing.
I was so excited to push vaginally and to just experience that, like, the full thing. Like, I just couldn't wait. And everyone was like, obviously before I even knew, they were like, are you worried about the birth? And I was like, no, I just am so looking forward to just feeling it all and the sensations. And yeah, it for me, it was kind of transitioning that thought process and going, right, you're no less of a mother, you're no less of a woman for not going through that vaginal birth. And it was, yeah, I think it was almost like a not a grieving process, because that's quite intense, but it was definitely a, right, I'm going to say goodbye. I wrote a letter to my vaginal birth, and it was that night that I just thought, right, this is my way of processing it, and it might be different for someone else, but I just wrote it all down, and I was like, to my home water birth, you sounded magical and empowering and euphoric, but unfortunately you're just not the safest option for either of us this time, and maybe we'll meet in the future, but for now, good luck being on everyone else's experience, but you're not part of mine. And then I kind of signed it off, and it was really nice for me to be like, okay, right, I'm back, I'm on, yeah, we're having a cesarean, and that's what's happening. But it is a big shift, and I think, yeah, it's processing it in your own way and just allowing those feelings and emotions instead of holding on to them until it gets to the cesarean and you're like, oh, but I was just so looking forward to my vaginal birth. It's doing it then and there, whenever you find out in your pregnancy, if you're breech and you find out 36 weeks, or it's trying to find the best way for you to go through that that process.
I love that you wrote that down. That's such a brilliant tip. I've not really thought of that or heard that before, but that's something I'll definitely take away from this, is recommending that to my mate, because yeah, that's a really nice way of kind of like accepting those feelings, recognizing them, and then kind of putting them to bed. And I think we can use that for all sorts of stuff in life, when perhaps we plan something and I mean COVID happens or whatever happens.
Definitely,
putting it to bed. I love that. That's amazing.
Thank you. It really helped me.
Oh, and it's just so exciting, isn't it? It's just so exciting. I just love the fact that you've got this little heartbeat inside and your body's able to grow it. And there's no way we should ever consider any type of birth as a failure or being less than another. They're all miraculous. And I just think women are warriors, however they give birth, and should always just feel like superwomen in the postpartum, because what you've done is literally incredible. It's literally a miracle, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the whole, not just the birth, but the whole 9-10 months, like, we kind of just picture, so there's so much focused and such a heightened like everyone just zooms in on that, like, how are you going to give birth and what's the date, and yeah, like, so focused on the due date. But it's like the whole entire experience of the 10 months and then the birth and then all of the postpartum, like the rest of your life with your baby. It's seeing it, like zooming out almost, and being like, right, okay, that is just a tiny fraction in my baby's life, but obviously it's such a special day, and it's how can you make it as comfortable but also as beautiful as you possibly can under the new circumstances. And we're doing it, it's so nice for me to learn about just how much control we do have over the cesarean. And I loved your one with your cesarean birth, and
Nugmay.
Nugmay,
just incredible. I mean, what a woman! What a woman she is.
She is an absolute like trailblazer, isn't she? She's literally the epitome of a fire starter. Like her was something I really took away from that, and it was quite raw. Like I'd only just found out about the cesarean and then I listened to your episode, but something that I really took away and it stuck with me is, instead of seeing all of these people in the room when you're about to give birth abdominally, it's seeing them all, instead of, oh my god, this is so overwhelming, why are there so many humans here, going, you are all here to protect and look after me and my baby. How incredible to turn it around and think, you're all here to support us and to make sure we are so healthy and we're under the best hands. And I love that, instead of thinking, oh my god, you're like, there's about 20 of you, like, can you tell me what you're here for?
Yeah, literally, you've got all these experts just there for you, and that's wow. I think that is kind of empowering in itself, and rather than then it feeling overwhelming, actually it should hopefully help you feel really kind of secure and safer, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love it. Now, Chessie, everyone that comes on, I always ask for 3 top tips. And because of how like infectious and incredible and how much I love your positive energy, I'd love you to share with us your 3 top tips to other expectant mums for promoting some kind of self-love and compassion for our bodies along this journey. Because I think it's natural that we all have days when we're a bit like, oh, that's changed, or I'm not so keen on that. Even amongst this amazing, amazing thing that's happening, we kind of have those little days and those little doubts and that little voice in our head. So how can we combat that?
So I would say every day, putting aside, if you can, obviously with mums that already have children, or if you're super busy with work, you are never too busy to have just 10 minutes when the kids have gone down, or when your partner's watching the rugby or the football or whatever he or she is watching, and having those 10 minutes, or that's minimum, I would go for an hour, but to take yourself off and have a bath, or even if you're just like rubbing in your cream into your bump, and just something that you know really calms you and connects you with your body, and just taking that time and going, wow, like how phenomenal. How wonderful that we're doing this together, like you and me, body, like we're making this baby and connecting with that little tiny heartbeat in you. And even like when I was 12 weeks and I felt like it was, and it's weird because I felt like not a sense of oh my god, something's wrong, but I couldn't picture the little girl inside me. Like I knew she was a little girl from 16 weeks, but I found it really hard to connect with, oh my god, there's something inside me. I kind of just thought of a foot or a hand, whereas now I can, because I can kind of see where her bottom is, I can kind of feel it, I see her as a tiny baby. And it's just whatever stage of your pregnancy you are at, it's kind of just taking that time, breathing into your belly and like filling her or him or them up with all that love and just really connecting in any way you can. Like I lie down in the bath and I feel her and I'm like, oh, wow, like just, yeah. So that's tip one. Tip two is experimenting with what really does make you feel good for the rest of the day, like especially if you're having days of sickness, if you're having days of just discomfort of your back and all of these things that can be a part of your pregnancy, and using those days or really relishing those days and reveling in those days of when you wake up feeling like you're full of rocket fuel and you're like, yeah, this is a good day, and just really soaking up those days and just experimenting what does make you feel good. Like I'll try, like everyone in lockdown, to go for a long walk in the day, but if I get to 20 minutes and it's uncomfortable and I'm like, probably don't need to do a long walk today, it's like, well, I can turn back. Like I'm in control. I can turn back, and knowing that that makes me feel better than pushing forward to be like, no, I must get my 10,000 steps in. And then third, it's coming back to that, like speaking to yourself as if you connect more with speaking to yourself, how you're going to speak to your child instead of how you'd speak to your best friend or someone you love. Like, how are you going to nurture that child within you? Like, how are you going to speak to them and bring them up? Like, you're never going to bring them up saying, right, you've got to say every day, I hate this about my body. You're never going to say that. So changing it and being like, right, I want to nurture and love and give all of my not wisdom, but all of my experience in life to her. And I would never want her to think I'm not good enough and I'm not skinny enough and I'm not blonde enough and all of this. I want her to just feel so empowered and just so empowered with and celebrating her body. So it's speaking to yourself how you're going to speak to your future baby or your future child.
Oh, I love that. That's such good advice, isn't it? I absolutely love that. That's brilliant. I'll definitely be taking that away. And
very long three tips. I'm so sorry. They were very extended. I can never just do like a bullet point of be nice to yourself, do this, eat food.
No, I love your tip. That's brilliant. And I always think, you know, when you see like a little toddler and they've got their beautiful little chubby legs and their little chubby tummies and they're in front of the mirror in their nappies and they're like dancing away and they just think they're like the absolute bomb. And I think that's,
yes,
that's brilliant. We all need to feel like that little toddler in that mirror.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, channel your inner toddler before all the conditioning and before all of the thing, the layers of self-doubt and self-sabotaging. Like, just be that little, yeah, that little human that has no care in the world, that yeah. is so free and liberated. And yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Oh, Chezzy, it's been amazing to chat to you. I'm so pleased we finally got to have a good old chin wag and pregnancy conversation. And I can't wait to hear how you get on with your lovely cesarean birth of your little girl. It's very exciting.
Oh, Pip, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking to everyone and sharing such, words of wisdom. And I've absolutely loved it. Thank you, Pip. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. You take care. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
And you, Pip. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you found it helpful, then please hit subscribe and leave a review. It really does make a huge difference to the number of women we can reach out to and empower. For daily free information, inspiration, or details on our bespoke antenatal education courses, head over to my social medias at midwife_pip and my website midwifepip.com. I would love to hear from expectant mums who have found this episode useful and wish to embrace further support on their wellness journey. Pop your details in the Your Pregnancy Journey tab on my website and I will be back in touch. Thank you and see you next time.